If you're paying more than $1 a month for any ED or hair medication, listen up. At Joy & Blokes, when you start TRT or in Clomiphene, you can add any ED or hair loss prescription for just $1 a month. $1 add-ons with your hormone plan, and right now, all labs are 50% off. I'm Josh Whalen, founder of Joy & Blokes. I built this company because men are tired of paying for fragmented care without results. Every Joy & Blokes lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who connects your symptoms to your biomarkers. You'll get a real plan that covers hormones, performance, and confidence. If you're considering TRT or in Clomiphene, this is the most efficient way to do it. Get started at joyandblokes.com and use the promo code PODCAST. New customers get 50% off their labs, and for a limited time, you can take advantage of our $1 ED or hair loss add-ons when you start TRT or in Clomiphene. Not available in all states. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Learn more at joyandblokes.com.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. Gideon, how's it going this week, man?
Going good, man. Just been hanging out, enjoying some more library stuff. Still watching My Name is Earl. I'm in season two now. Really digging that. I've been really enjoying lots of 2004 movies and TV things for some reason. Mm-hmm. I kind of realized 2004 seems like a very memorable, like, iconic year for, like, games, music, movies, like, tons and tons of stuff came out in 2004. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, George Bush got reelected.
Yeah. I think that's when Halo 2 came out, and, like, Napoleon Dynamite and Spider-Man 2 and
Metal Gear Solid 3, yeah.
Tons of good shit. Huh. And so just before this, I was playing Tekken 8, which I got from the library. Oh. Super stoked about that. It's awesome. It's beautiful. It's super fun to play. And I've still been playing Witcher 3 a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm checking on PlayStation.
Yep, PS5.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Something that's one of those franchises I just, like, even though it's multi-platform, I associate so heavily with PlayStation, going back to the beginning days. And you're doing Witcher 3 as well.
Mm-hmm. And well, even more so now since they bought Evo, right?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. Yep. Yeah, I forgot about that.
But yeah, I'm doing good on Witcher. I'm about to do that quest with Kira Metz where you go into, like, a cave or whatever. So it's still pretty early on.
Yep.
And I did watch a documentary. Last thing, I watched a documentary about Sebastio Saldago, I think his name is. Mm. And that was really interesting, really good. If you're looking for a good documentary about
And he's cool... like a painter, what is he's
a photographer.
Okay.
And
that's
he
right
did...
with the black and white photography you were telling me about. Yep.
Yeah, and he basically did a series of really cool, like, social photography where he would do, like, 6 to 8 year journeys. Like, he'd be in South America and then he'd be in Africa, and then, like, in the 90s he was I guess the oil well pictures was from Saddam Hussein, like, lit all the oil wells on fire, and then he went there with, like, New York Times, and was just, like, taking photos because they called in, like, I guess tons of firefighters, like, around the world. So there was, like, Canadians and French firefighters and all kinds of people.
Sacre de bleu!
Yeah, it was crazy, man. Like, it was just really cool. Yeah, but it was crazy. So that's what I've been up to.
That's good. Well, that's very interesting. We had a family friend who was a like a really high up firefighter, kind of in, like, the Quad City, Davenport, like, Moline area. And when 9/11 happened, he actually, like, went out on buses of, like, firefighters, like, from the Midwest who all got bussed out to New York to, like, help with the recovery efforts and stuff. Yeah, he was, like, really deeply involved with that stuff.
Real quick, I want to mention the name of the documentary for anybody listening. Curious. I think it's The Salt of Life.
Okay,
No,
awesome.
the salt of the earth. Okay, I was.
Salt of the earth. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, salt of the earth. Neil, how's it going this week, man?
Going pretty good. It's just another week of teaching summer school, and I'll be free for a couple of weeks, which is nice. Watched Caddyshack for the first time in a long time last night. Might be a interesting episode. I had some thoughts about it because it wasn't exactly how I remembered it.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it all the way through. I catch my dad watching it on cable whenever it's on, and then like I come into the room and he's quoting it to himself like before the line happens, so he'll quote it, the line happens, and then he just goes like that's the funniest thing in the world. Come over here.
I love that.
Yeah, so that is.
Sammy, you doing okay there?
Yeah, he was on one of the wires, and it was making things difficult. Man, buddy, could your I'm holding for our listeners. I'm holding my cat to the camera, and he just has zero thought behind his eyes. That's okay.
You know what they say: pets take after their owners.
That's right.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, good. We're watching Caddyshack for any particular reason, or just it was just on, or.
I just wanted a little mood booster. I was like, what's a comedy I don't have to pay too much attention to?
Yeah, for sure. I understand. Okay, well, that is good. We, for the podcast this week, are doing the movie, these 90s, late 90s sci-fi movie, Event Horizon.
97.
With, starring Sam Neill of Jurassic Park fame, who I didn't know was from New Zealand prior to this movie. He does a really great American accent in Jurassic Park.
There's a fun little Easter egg in Event Horizon about his nationality, which we can get into later.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and then Morpheus from The Matrix is in here, and then I think mostly like, I mean, is there any other actor that people would really recognize in this movie? I can't really think of anybody else.
Yeah, Jason Isaacs. People might know him as the bad guy from The Patriots, or more likely Lucius Malfoy from the Harry Potter movies.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You know what? You're right on that. Okay. Yeah, I kind of recognize him now. That's kind of how like Ralph Fiennes is Malfoy, but or Voldemort, but nobody really recognizes him because, of course, he's in all that crazy makeup. Anyway, I had never heard of this movie prior to you bringing it to the podcast, Neil. So why don't you tell us a little bit about why you wanted to bring this movie?
So a couple of years ago, my friend Jamie and I would have a movie night pretty frequently. And at one point, we just made a big dent into the director Paul W.S. Anderson's filmography. We didn't get everything, but we got a lot of them. And so we watched this one. And I just remember thinking, like, this is such a cool premise that has been horribly mishandled.
Okay.
I don't know how much you guys have seen of Paul W. Sanderson's other work, but he is like the hackiest director.
It's mostly trash, right? It's like Resident Evil movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so this came up. This was one of his first directorial submissions. I think it might be his like third movie, and the first one was like self-funded, like almost like guerrilla style. And then he was given the original Mortal Kombat movie, speaking of fighting games.
Mm-hmm.
And then Event Horizon was his third, and then after that, just a lot of schlock.
Oh, dude, he did Alien versus Predator. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Also 2004.
So, like, I don't think the man is like totally untalented. I'll go to bat for the original Resident Evil movie as like perfect summer blockbuster, just shoving popcorn in your face. Like, you're gonna have a good time. And then like everything after that is just like worse and worse and worse. And I think that he must have made like a deal with the devil or something. It was like, I get to make like three, like not necessarily good but interesting movies, and I get to marry Mila Jovovich, and after that, I'm just gonna make garbage that like does well in China.
Yeah, I mean, so that is part of what I was going to touch on. This is what I was going to bring up earlier. When I first went to look up this movie after you had suggested it, all I read was directed by Paul Anderson. And I was like, Paul Anderson? Like, There Will Be Blood, Paul Anderson? And I was like, oh, this is going to be so awesome. Like, Niels is suggesting this like really highbrow, like sci-fi movie by Paul Anderson. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, Paul W.S. Anderson. I know about this guy. He's the guy that makes all the cheesy Resident Evil movies and is dating or is married to Mila Jovovich. And I went, oh, okay, this makes more sense. I'm putting things together here.
It's amazing how big a difference those two letters.
Yes,
literally.
Yes. Paul
Thomas Anderson.
Thomas Anderson is who I'm thinking of. Yes, who has made almost nothing but excellent
bangers.
Movies. And There Will Be Blood, maybe one of the best movies ever made. Oh, so, yeah. You know, the quite a gap for those two directors. I'm sure that Paul Thomas Anderson is constantly pissed off by people who are confusing him for the lesser Paul Anderson. I'm sure maybe like, you know, that's horrible. Anyway, how about you, Gideon? Had you ever heard of this movie before or know anything about it?
Yeah, I had heard about it. Seen just very brief, like snippets. Alyssa had seen this movie a couple times and I'd seen like parts of it in the background, but not even like a full scene or anything like that. So I knew about it and knew it was a horror, like a cult sci-fi horror movie, from my understanding. But yeah, I'd never seen it till now.
Okay. And so I guess we'll go around the horn and kind of give our initial impressions. So Neil, you kind of alluded to the fact that great premise, but you felt that it was kind of wasted.
So, like, Paul W.S. Anderson does not understand what subtlety is, I don't think. Because I think if I could make one change to this movie, I think there are more changes that could be made to make it better. But he's like so excited to show off his creepy spaceship, and he just wants you to know how creepy it is so quickly that he like blows his load in the first 30 seconds by having like a jump cut scare to somebody with like a mutilated face screaming, which is like he just reveals that something is wrong. Like I think it's like a great establishing shot to start, like a little bit of dated CGI going on, but like you just see this ship in orbit around Neptune, and like I think the music works. I think it's ominous, but you don't know exactly what's going on. What is the ship? Why is it here? What's going on? And then, like, shitty jump cut scare that basically gives away the whole plot, right?
Yes. I can fully acknowledge that there's a lot of cheesy jump scares and a lot of, like, really cheap horror in this movie. Gideon, how about you? Initial impressions?
Man, I don't know.
If you're paying more than $1 a month for any ED or hair medication, listen up. At Joy & Blokes, when you start TRT or enclomiphene, you can add any ED or hair loss prescription for just $1 a month. $1 add-ons with your hormone plan, and right now all labs are 50% off. I'm Josh Whalen, founder of Joy & Blokes. I built this company because men are tired of paying for fragmented care without results. Every Joy & Blokes lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who connects your symptoms to your biomarkers. You'll get a real plan that covers hormones, performance, and confidence. If you're considering TRT or enclomiphene, this is the most efficient way to do it. Get started at joyandblokes.com and use the promo code PODCAST. New customers get 50% off their labs, and for a limited time, you can take advantage of our $1 ED or hair loss add-ons when you start TRT or enclomiphene. Not available in all states. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Learn more at joyandblokes.com.
I was enjoying it quite a bit. I liked how it kind of just gets going right away and you're like meeting the crew. I was just kind of expecting like a sci-fi haunted house type movie because they just, like Neil was saying, talked about this ship and some fucked up shit went down. So obviously it's going to be bad. I don't know. I was enjoying it quite a bit.
Okay. I mean, so initially my first impression was that the plot seemed extremely similar to Dead Space, right? It was going to be okay, we're this derelict crew and we're going after this space station where some serious business went down. We're going to go check, like Morpheus and these guys are going to go check it out. I was like pretty into it, but the thing that was in the back of my head was like, this movie is so predictable. Like, I thought for sure, like we were going to get to the, and I think a lot of people probably watching this movie think you were going to get to the space station and it's going to be aliens, right? Because that's like what we've been trained to expect. The visual language of the movie is very close to like the Ridley Scott Alien movies. It's kind of got like a similar vibe with the crew, you know, kind of like they've got like all the different stereotypes aboard the crew. And you get there, and I spent most of the movie being like really frustrated that they had not showed the aliens yet. I was like, where are the goddamn aliens? Where, you know, because I thought the whole thing was going to be like, they opened this portal and aliens came through the portal and fucked up everybody on the ship, right? Mm-hmm. That's like why the guy was injured and he had his eyeballs ripped out or whatever, like the first corpse that they find. And I was like, where are these aliens? They're really stringing me along on this like wild goose chase. And then when it wasn't aliens and it was like, no, like Sam Neill is the fucking devil and they unleashed like a, basically it's like Doom, there's like a portal to hell. I was like, that's totally awesome and way better than aliens. I know that this movie is really cheesy. I really like this movie. I just enjoyed it a lot on a cheesy kind of turn off my brain and enjoy it kind of horror movie. I think it's like
horror camp.
It was like really campy, but it was like, it was brief and it was interesting and it was violent and there was like a lot of fun stuff. There are faults for sure, and there's shit in this movie that is like laughable and how stupid it is. Like the one thing I'll point out before I forget is the sound of when Morpheus is swinging at Sam Neill with those big pipes, and every time it hits him it sounds like a wiffle ball bat. It's just like the punk punk.
Yeah.
That really made me laugh. Some of the sound effects in this movie are totally laughable, but I had a great time. Like 34% on Rotten Tomatoes, I think is way underselling this movie.
Yeah.
I think it's way better than that.
I agree. I really had a lot of fun with it. It kind of was like everything I wanted it to be. And it was like, it was really funny at times too, mixed with how horrific some of the imagery could be. But yeah, when like Sam Neill is like walking around their big Hellraiser ball of death, grab drive, whatever the fuck it is, and he's like, it's perfectly safe in here. It's like, bro, there's spikes everywhere in this fucking OSHA violation room.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
And,
so like, did you not see him being like the bad guy coming with that? Because you said you were talking about the aliens.
So I didn't really like, I didn't really put it together probably until it was like inappropriately late. It was like the first time, because I was really giving him the benefit of the doubt on him being like, oh, I don't know what's wrong, and maybe it's this, and maybe like I thought they were just kind of playing that as like the skeptical scientist, you know, this like skeptical of any of this being supernatural. Like, I thought he was acting weird, but I didn't think it was like necessarily like evil weird. And then there's that scene where he's like, it's me, and he like fades into the shadow and you're like, oh, okay, so Sam Neill's up to some nefarious business or whatever. Okay,
he was way too comfortable for me. I was like, this place is bad. This place is a bad place to be. It's scary. It's really scary. Everyone's scared. They're seeing shit. Really fucked up, like just like the quick cuts of whatever the literal hell that they were seeing.
Yeah,
and he's just like, man, I like this room. I like this spinny ball thing. It could have actually. And it's like, okay, bud.
Go ahead.
So when I initially selected this movie, Sam like in our Discord chat was like, oh, 90 minutes. Fantastic. Like, he was very excited. One thing to kind of know is that there isn't a director's cut of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
The original cut is like
130 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say a little over 2 hours. And Paul W.S. Anderson was forced to cut it down because it like was so shockingly violent to test audience that they just couldn't handle it. But there isn't a director's cut, but he has said that of the things that he cut out, there were more like hints that Sam Neill was up to something, like in like the recording of the brew of the Event Horizon, like just before they're about to try the faster than light drive. They're like swipping. They've got like a camera person going to each member of the crew, and you were supposed to like be able to see him if you were paying attention. In like, you know, here's Bob and here's Mark and Sam Neill's character is in the background.
Mm.
Things like that. But so yeah, I think this movie might have been butchered in editing. But again, I would still cut out that 30-second nonsense just from the very, like, I just think that it ruins the mystery to me.
Yeah.
Can you remind us what that 30-second was in the beginning or early on?
Oh, just you've got the establishing shot of the Event Horizon around mm-hmm. Neptune, and then all of a sudden, like, there's just like a cut to like a Xenobite, like, you know, what Sam Neill ends up looking like at the end, you know, covered in scars, like.
Oh, okay, yeah, I gotcha. Like those horrible vision type stuff that later. Okay.
I want to see I want the mystery. Like, I don't want to know what happens until later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally understand that. Like, I don't know. If it was me, I think the studio probably made the right decision and like cut it. Because I think 2 hours and 10 minutes would have been like way too long for this movie. Like, because at a certain point, like you get what it's going for, and it's running out of plot to really like support the length of the movie. So I think they probably made the right decision. That said,
I don't disagree. I just think that like what he like. I don't trust his judgment to know what to keep in and what to keep out. I feel like there's probably some good stuff that got cut out, and I think he's actually said that he might have overdone it. Like, if even he thinks that he went too far,
right?
There's probably something wrong.
Yeah, it was an exceptionally violent movie. I mean, not from maybe the get-go, but as soon as they drop that frozen corpse and it just like shatters into 1,000 pieces, I was like, all right, we're gonna have some like Evil Dead kind of horror going on in this movie. But I really enjoyed that about it, just like the schlocky amount of violence and how crazy things get, especially in the last like 10-15 minutes. I was like all for it. I was like, listen, we've spent all movie creeping around this spaceship and not a lot happening. Like, let's see some shit happen. There are a few jump scares that are extremely predictable and very cheap. Like, Sam Neill is in these corridors, like working on the computer, and it's like the lights are flashing on and off. I'm like, there's gonna be somebody that comes up after one of these lights comes back on. Like, everybody watching this knows exactly, mm-hmm. you know, what's gonna go down with some of these. What else do we want to talk about this movie?
Should we talk about? Oh, go ahead, Neil.
One thing I want to bring up is, overall, I really like the like design of this like near future, or actually, mm-hmm. Isn't it actually like?
It says 2047.
Okay, so yeah, near future. For a second, I forgot if it was one of those like.
We've passed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I know Paul W. Sanderson like really respects Ridley Scott as a director.
Yeah.
And like, I think this movie, like, design wise really borrows from Alien. Just as like, you know, like the big bulky computers on the spaceships, and mm-hmm. like everything's a little dirty and like rugged. Mm-hmm. And I really like that style of design. But again, like, the man doesn't understand subtlety, because you see the Lewis and Clark, the rescue ship that Lawrence Fishburne and his crew are on as they go to salvage the Event Horizon, which for our viewers is the first attempt by humans to make a faster than light ship. And like, you see the Event Horizon, and it looks different on the outside, but like, you can still see it's very human, very similar in like, you know, you see the antenna arrays and all that, and you get into like the crew part of the ship, and it's basically the same thing. And then you get to the faster than light drive, and it's a room with like spinning rings that, and that's the warp drive. I'm like, okay, so that's the warp drive. I'm okay. Like, I don't need to know exactly how this is supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's fine. But then the giant rings have like ancient runes carved into them. And the room has like areas of water like on the perimeter.
Yeah.
And then they're just giant spikes sticking out of the walls. Like, oh, of course this is the bad room. This is where everything went wrong. Like, it couldn't possibly be anything else.
Literally.
You know, I didn't notice the ancient runes on the thing, but just their industrial design suggests some sort of ominous shit is going to go down in that room. I mean, it's like Gideon said, it's like the OSHA disaster room. Like, yeah, nothing.
It's like if Death Clock designed a fucking engine room. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. I probably should have suspected something was up with that. I mean, I knew just like, I thought that, in my defense, I guess, I thought that that is like the portal where the aliens were going to come through. I thought like when they aligned and then that kind of like the glob of Capri Sun gel filled the middle of that concentric circle, I thought the aliens were gonna like brrr, like through there, and then all of a sudden like, okay, now the game's on. Give Morpheus a gun. What's up with the guns in this movie? It's like a rifle.
Oh, it's like a ribbon revolver, gun, right?
Yeah,
it's meant for ship repairs, like bolting a plate into
place. Oh, okay.
Remember, when he's like fixing the Lewis and Clark.
That's
and
right.
He's on the outside. Yep.
Okay, I was gonna say, because when he picked one of those up, I was like, I don't know about that, because it just didn't look like conventional weaponry, but of course it wasn't.
That's actually a very Dead Space, another connection, like you're using industrial tools as weapons.
Yeah, you know, I was just about to say that it's crazy how much Dead Space really took from this.
The whole movie, Alyssa was watching it with me. And we were joking together, just like the Dead Space devs must have been like, write that down. Like, even the cover of Dead Space being the severed hand, and there's that moment where like the floating glove like touches somebody's shoulder and they think it's like a hand. So there's so much Dead Space in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I will say I was watching this yesterday. Reinstalled Dead Space last night. I was like, I need to shoot some necromorphs. Like, this is just putting me in the mood to do all that business. So yeah, I'm definitely gonna have to have another quick run on that game. Okay, things we don't like about the movie as much. Just cheeseball shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got one. Before I forget, I know that this was popular. It is in the 90s. In the late 80s and early 2000s, there for about, let's say, 15, 20 years. Like the loud black comic relief character. I hate this stereotype. I don't like this movie cliche. It's annoying in almost every movie. The one that really I think is the exception that proves the rule is Chris Tucker in Rush Hour is awesome. But I don't think hardly any other actor does it well. Like, I don't like it in Eddie Murphy movies. I don't like it in this. So it's not that it bothers me that it's a stereotype. It just bothers me how it doesn't fit the rest of the movie. Like, if I was Paul W. Anderson, I wouldn't have any sort of comic relief in this movie. It's like, this movie is about getting dragged into hell by the fucking devil, man. Like, we don't need this like funny black guy that's like in the climax of the movie, like, like coming up to the window. Like, I was like, get this guy out of here. I don't need this right now. Like, I wanted to watch like Morpheus fight the devil, and then all of a sudden there's you know, this guy flying up to the window. I didn't like that.
Yeah,
I was happy he made it out because it was just crazy how much shit he went through, and how he even got back on the ship was just like so ridiculous.
And then just to be launched back into Neptune. Yeah, I think he's. I agree, Sam. I don't particularly like that trope, and I think one of the problems of the movie, or let me rewind. One of those other like goofball moments is like when the crew starts to realize that something's wrong. I forget if it's him or like the chief engineer, but like they start like smacking Sam Neill in the face just like over and over, and then everyone's trying to break them up, and then the doctor grabs him and like puts a scalpel to his throat.
Yeah.
And like for a moment it's like, okay, so it's gotten so bad that like the level-headed doctor has snapped, and then like and then like more than Lawrence Fishburne talks him down, like, hey, you've got everything's cool, you don't have to have a knife to your friend's throat, everything. And you know, he's like calming down, like, I'm sorry, I don't know what came over me, and then just snap a finger, the guy starts attacking Sam Neill again.
Yeah, he's like right back at it, and he wasn't he like not really reprimanded?
Yeah, I mean, like that didn't matter too much. It was just more like, again, the pacing of that. Like, we just had a really serious moment, and then just right, it's perfect comedic timing. Like, right back to attacking Sam Neill, which, again, this shouldn't be a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I think one of the biggest flaws of the movie is that the cast and crew is not necessarily too big, but like, okay, so spoiler alert for our audience, basically two members of the crew survive, Stark, the blonde woman, and then in addition to Lawrence Fishburne and the annoying black man, there's a third black crew member whose name I don't know. I don't have any like thoughts about his personality or like what his role on the ship was. He's just kind of there.
I don't remember this person at all. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But he's there at the end. He's holding on to, like, he comes out of the cryo tubes or whatever with Stark.
That was the annoying black guy.
No, the annoying black guy gets launched into Neptune. Like the annoying black guy's whole character arc is that he gets launched off of the ship when it explodes. He uses his oxygen reserve to get back to the Event Horizon. He's facing the window like, I'm back, motherfuckers. And then Sam Neill blows out the window and launches him back into space.
I thought he came back and helped that blonde lady.
No, this is exactly my point. There is a third black man who just doesn't have like anything to actually do in the movie. Like, unless I'm crazy, but I'm pretty sure that I'm right. I don't think that it's him. I don't think it's the annoying black guy who survives to the end.
Okay, we're gonna have to do some research on this, because it was my impression that that guy, the annoying black guy, survived, and he was the one like in his underpants helping the attractive blonde woman at the very end of the movie.
That's what I thought too, but it's been a couple weeks since I've seen it.
Yeah, and every time I try like Googling anything about this movie, all the links that come up about this movie are from like Tumblr pages that are focused on how rad the gore is, and I don't want to look at this shit right now. So,
well, just... if Cooper is the annoying black man character, I think he does come back. I'm just looking at the plot on Wikipedia right now, because it says he uses his oxygen suit, propel him back to the ship. He's at the window. Weir shoots the window, shoots at him.
Okay, I
was Cooper enter stasis. Yeah,
I just really? Googled like Event Horizon
for a second time. I guess I missed that.
Say that.
I Googled Event Horizon black guy survives, and I come to a top 10 a list called top 10 black characters who survived the horror movie, and number 8 Cooper Event Horizon.
Okay, I totally misread that movie. Then I'm sorry.
No, dude, that's not on you. That's on Paul W. Sanderson for not making it more clear who survived and who didn't.
And no. It's like, it's not really shocking that you would come to that conclusion, because like, why would he survive? Like, yeah. Given all that shit he went through, and like, it's yeah. shocking he survived at all. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I don't.
Maybe one of the rescue people at the end is the black guy. I don't remember.
Now I feel like I'm going crazy, and I'm gonna have to rewatch this.
It's probably the grab drive. Fucking
yeah, the grab drive is turning you into. Yeah. Bizarro,
but,
Neil.
Okay, even if I'm totally wrong there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll give this the benefit of the doubt and say that Cooper survives, uh-huh. and we're supposed to like him because of his crazy hijinks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I don't know that Stark had enough of a character arc or . Not even an arc, but just defining characteristics for me to care that she survives.
Mm-hmm.
She's the first person you kill because she doesn't have anything interesting about her. I just feel like they don't spend enough time with the characters for or at least with most of the characters for us to care about them surviving. And then the people that they do have at the end are. Just I don't care that they survived.
Right.
I don't really care about, I'll be honest, I don't care about any of the human characters in this movie except for Morpheus, who does, I think, a really good job at, either the women, I don't really care. Sam Neill, I don't care, except he's just acting like a total weirdo the whole time. I wasn't, to me, everybody in this movie was just meat. You know, it's like, I can't wait to see how this person doesn't survive this movie. And mostly they deliver on those kills, mm-hmm. pretty satisfying, and the gore is pretty over the top and cool. To me, all the coolest shit in this movie is in the last 15 minutes, where it gets really heavy into the satanic and hell aspect of it, where you're constantly seeing flash. I don't want to say subliminal, because they're definitely meant to be seen, but these one frame flashes of this incredibly horrifying nightmare gore stuff that's right out of a Doom.
Mm-hmm.
Right of a Doom game. I don't know. I kind of enjoyed this one for as schlocky and silly as it was. If I would have saw this in the theater, I would have had a great time.
Oh yeah, same.
We're coming up in on about 50 minutes. Let's kind of start to wrap up. So any kind of final stuff we want to talk about with this movie?
I have a couple just funny things I wanted to mention.
Yeah.
So I know the grab drive or whatever is messing with everybody's heads, and that one lady keeps seeing the vision of her son, and that leads to her death because she falls and breaks her legs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's it's almost that character that you're yelling, there's the stupid character in the horror movie. It's don't go in the closet, don't do that. It's listen, dude. Your son isn't there. You're in space. How would he get here? There's no way, it's mm-hmm. It's not established that, it's not a doorway or anything. It folds space and stuff they talked about. So there's just funny, campy moments with the blending of the horror. And even for it being so heavily cut down, I do think it is a very satisfying 90-minute sci-fi horror movie. I don't know. I had some other things, but you can come back to me. I'm trying to remember all of it.
Yeah, how about you, Neil? Any kind of things you want to wrap up talking about?
One thing I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, there's a fun little Easter egg with Sam Neill's nationality patch on his spacesuit. So he's from New Zealand, I believe, and the New Zealand flag features the Union Jack in the corner. And for this movie, he said he had it custom made to remove the Union Jack and put a Maori tribal symbol in the corner to replace it, because he's this is how it's going to be in however many years, which I think is just a cool little,
that's really cool,
futurism thing.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
One thing I want to ask you guys, how do you guys actually feel about the performances in this movie? Because I think, writing and pacing choices aside, I think Lawrence Fishburne's performance is very good. Like when they're reviewing the footage of the Event Horizon crew going crazy and killing each other, he says like, "We're leaving." Like, just matter of fact, total debt. And I also think Sam Neill's performance, particularly when he finally gets to go crazy,
it's good.
Like, where we're going, we won't need eyes to see. I think it works for me. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah, same.
I don't know. I thought it was good. I thought Morpheus was good, like you said. I think everybody else is like at least serviceable, and I think that Sam Neill gets to flex a muscle that he doesn't like get to flex all that often, where he just is a total psycho killer. You know, so you gotta love that. I mean, just like the way he shows up in makeup, where he's just like completely lacerated and like just looks like a demon at the end. It was so awesome. It was just fun to watch him get to just be a total nut.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I thought Lawrence Fishburne was excellent. I loved his total like no bullshit approach like the whole way through. I thought he was like a really cool captain. I didn't really find, even though the trope is annoying, I thought Cooper as a character wasn't that bad. He didn't really bother me too much. I think I was more annoyed about that lady like who died trying to find her son and whatever. And yeah, Sam Neill just looked like he was having a blast, just having tons of fun being crazy. And it had a lot of that good, like 90s, just like flavor, to almost like a wackiness to his performance that I really liked.
Yeah.
I think that there's an example of like great actors being able to elevate not necessarily the greatest source material.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the people making this movie had a lot of fun making this movie.
I have a couple small things I read in trivia that I thought were interesting on IMDb. I guess that in the beginning when they're on that first like space station or whatever they're at, I don't remember if it was the Lewis and Clark or just something else, but when it does that like crazy like rotating shot, I think I read that took like a third or like a fourth of their CGI budget, or maybe in like the whole movie's budget. It was like such an intensive like CGI shot to make, which is just funny.
That was one other thing I wanted to bring up is I think the like zero G scenes, like, so at one point one of the crew members has been like possessed and he's like about to vent himself out of the airlock.
That was awesome.
And Lawrence Fishburne is like on the hull of the ship doing repairs or something. Mm-hmm. And he's like pulling himself along ladders and cabling. And he's like, I think that the ideas of like what you can accomplish in zero G were very well thought out and like executed pretty well for the technology of the time.
That whole sequence was awesome. How he's like telling him to, you know, like, empty his lungs and just like get ready, I'm gonna like grab you and try and save you. Like, that was a really exciting, crazy sci-fi scene. I thought
I really like the cheesy CGI in this movie. It has like a very obviously late 90s early 2000s look to it, where it all looks like just a little bit better than an episode of Code Lyoko or a Capri Sun commercial or something like that.
Yeah.
And it just takes me back. And I think it kind of works for the gritty aesthetic of this movie.
One other thing I noticed that I just thought was funny, and it might be like the door to the grab drive room, but it was specifically some like metal door knob thing, and they push on it, and the doorknob or doorbell looking thing, to me it literally looked like a flaccid penis and balls, and they like pushed on that. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but I was like, that's a bad omen, guys, like what is this fucking place?
I didn't notice that one, but I did notice like there was this room that people, there was like this doorway into a room that people kept running through that was shaped exactly like a coffin, and every time somebody would run through that doorway, it was like within the next 50 seconds, they were dead.
Post.
It was kind of in the same area as like the grab drive and all that stuff too. It was like, why make this coffin shaped? It just seemed like implausible. Like,
yeah,
like I can imagine the engineer being like, no, like the architect being like, oh no, man, it's gonna be like a coffin, like it's gonna be totally sick and metal.
It's gonna be awesome, bro.
Make the door this way.
Before we totally close out the episode, not about Event Horizon, but I did have a small thing I wanted to ask you guys about Furiosa, but I want to make sure we wrap up everything with Event Horizon. I didn't have anything else, I don't think, about Event Horizon.
Yeah, I'll just add that I'm looking through IMDb. I've been watching clips on mute, and apparently I'm a horrible racist because I thought there was a third black man in this movie. there was not.
That's okay. No worries.
He is who is without sin cast the first stone. We've all made that mistake, Neil.
All good.
Okay, what's your Furiosa take?
Okay, this is just something I noticed. Some minor spoilers for Furiosa. But, so she tattoos her arm, right, with the stars, and her mom in the beginning is saying, like, it's almost like, may the force be with you, but, like, may the stars guide you or whatever. I was like, is that another, like, Australianism, like, reference to their flag? That's what I was thinking, because doesn't that have stars on it, right?
I believe it does.
I was really wondering that. And I just thought that was a really cool thing. I wasn't sure if that was any kind of connection, but it made me think of it when I saw it.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I did a quick Google search of like the phrase, and the phrase doesn't bring up anything. But yeah, there are definitely stars on the Australian flag. So yeah. I think that makes sense.
I just thought that was a little cool thing that I wonder if it, if that's actually anything or not. So, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, any final thoughts to kind of wrap up Event Horizon, gentlemen?
I think we're ready for stars.
Yeah.
Oh,
God. I feel like Neil's going to shoot me for this. I'm giving this movie the lowest possible 4-star.
Damn.
Like, that's kind of how I feel about it. It's like, I really enjoyed it. It was short. It was brief. I think if I was like trying to be more objective, I'd probably say there's a lot of problems and it's kind of cheesy and, you know, it's not that high quality, but I can't help how much I liked just watching this. So, and I feel kind of bad because I gave some like other really great movies like a four star as well. So that is why I'm clarifying that this is like the highest possible 3, the lowest possible 4. I think I'll go for a 4 right now. We'll see how I feel about it maybe in the morning. So I think that's kind of where I'm at.
Cool.
You know, I think I like fundamentally agree with you actually, Sam. And I think it's just this is the difference in our personalities. Where I love this as a concept. I love some of the imagery. Like, even though the faster than light drive room doesn't make any sense in the context of the movie, I still love it just as like as a moment in time. I just love like, look at these giant spikes in this room with a bunch of rotating rings. This looks cool. Yeah. I love the like alien-esque design of the regular ships. I love the potential mystery. Again, if you could just cut that one shot from the beginning, like honestly, I think that cutting that would move it into like a 4 for me. In that, like again, I just this is my kind of movie, and it's just like there's just so many dumb decisions and just like little things that are just like, oh, why did you do it that way? That for me, it's a 3. And I want like that. I desperately want to be a 4.
Yeah.
I totally get that.
Yeah. Fair enough. How about you, Gideon?
Yeah. I'm in a very similar boat, with both of you, but I've got to agree with Sam. This is a 4 for me. Pretty much did everything I wanted it to do. I wanted a spooky haunted house in space, and that's what I got. And I had a lot of fun with the different main performances. I loved the metal grab drive room. I loved like the mag boots and a lot of the sci-fi type stunts and like the weird rivet gun and stuff. It was just it was a lot of fun. I liked that it was 90 minutes, you know. It was just, yeah, a really good time, and I was really surprised with it. I do agree, like, if I wanted to be more critical or whatever, it probably is even maybe closer to, like, a 2.5 or something. But I'm just going off my own enjoyment, and I had a lot of fun with it, so, yeah, I'm going to give a 4.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know, it kind of reminds me of something that Roger Ebert used to talk about in interviews. Not that any of us are Roger Ebert, right? Like, we're not the film critic for the Chicago Sun-Times, right? Mm-hmm. But he used to talk about, there was a woman film critic who wrote like books on the subject, and she said that a man goes into a movie theater and the critic's job is to admit they're that man. So in other words, like, it is not your job to try to tailor your taste to say, like, oh, this is a more smart, fashionable movie, so I'm going to wait my review more and say, like, I enjoyed this more because I want to be viewed as smart and fashionable, right? Like, at the end of the day, you're trying to give your honest reaction and opinion as flatly as you can. And that's where I am in this movie. It's like, if liking Event Horizon makes me dumb, so be it. You know, I guess I'm just a dumb guy who likes gore and crazy shit happening in space because I thought this was rad. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's if that's how the cookie's got to crumble, then so be it. But yeah, I understand, like, in an egotistical way, wanting to be like, I don't like this movie very much, and you know, it has this flaw and this flaw and this flaw, and you can look at it critically and mm-hmm. say, like, you know, whatever, there's some problems. Like, I think we all think it has problems, but, like, at the end of the day, I enjoyed myself too much, you know?
Yeah.
To give it a bad review. So it's like, I don't know. 34 for this movie on Rotten Tomatoes is ridiculous. It shouldn't be anywhere near 34. That's crazy talk. Well, that about wraps it up for me, guys.
Cool.
Do we think was going next week? Was it back to you, Gideon?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll talk to Alex and see when he wants to hop back in, but yeah, I'm comfortable with giving it back to you. Do you have any ideas? Or
I do. I have a couple ideas. I'm trying to think if there was any kind of theme we were going for, or if we wanted to do something, or I wanted to do something maybe we all haven't seen. Or
mm-hmm. Well, don't pick a horror movie, because otherwise you won't have an episode for 3 weeks because Sam will be too scared.
Oh, God. This movie did get me a couple times with the jump scares, guys. I will admit there was a couple jump scares in here where I jumped off the couch a little bit.
Dude, early moment in Furiosa scared the shit out of me in the theaters. I get it. Like, I totally got jumped.
What bit?
Like,
he grabs her in the
light spoilers, but yeah, in the beginning she's like cutting the bike pumps or whatever they are for the fuel, and that guy's like right fucking there, like grabbing it. I was like, Jesus. He's got like the skull mask on and everything. I was like, if that was me, I'd be freaking the fuck out. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you let us know what you want to do, and we'll see you guys next week.
Sounds good.
All right. Peace out, guys.
Later.
Later, boys.
See ya.